Wow. What a great two songs we ended with. They were all amazing. Those last two, we'll just sing them forever. There's really no end, is it? We're singing the last one, "You Are Holy." I'm thinking, this is eternal. Shoo! The one right before that is probably my favorite song to come up to and preach to, "Worthy of It All." From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. There's nothing a man has, no one has anything unless it's been given. There's no boasting in men. Whatever a man has, it's been given by the Lord. It's a big deal. You wouldn't see if he didn't let you. You wouldn't have a word of knowledge if he didn't tell you something. Yeah? Sometimes I think we make a little too much out of the one that has the gift. You wouldn't see a thing if he didn't open your eyes. Can I do this quick? Wow, can you go to John, the Gospel of John? Let's do that. I've just taken my time here. I just want to be right. There's so many things you could preach and it would be acceptable. What is God saying to us, to the room? Amen? You know, I'm all the way out in California. I'm from the East Coast. And you know, you hear the word culture and different cultures. It's crazy how in this country there's a whole lot of different cultural type mentalities, flows, things. I'm in the South, I'm in the North. Things are different in this country, depending where you go. So when I'm here, it's like, okay, Lord, you know this room. I'm an East Coast guy. I just love you and know the gospel. Like if Jesse handed you a mic, what would you say to this room? You would know exactly what you'd say. And we have to understand, no matter where we live, whatever we say, we're in the midst of whatever culture we're in. We're always kingdom before anything. We're kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we're kingdom before we're anything. Amen? So we have to think first for the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, your will be done on, even as it is in, yeah. It's an interesting prayer. We always think the power of God. We think healing and it fits. It fits. The binding and loosing part. You know, there's no cancer in heaven. We get that. So no cancer on earth. So we have the faith to pray. And it's true. But what I preach all the time is, what about the heart of God? So I just want to take you through something. And I feel a little different tonight as far as not calm, but just... I just want to communicate some things. It's very important to understand why God sent his son. And you can stop with forgiveness. You can stop with going to heaven. When I ask Christians why God sent his son over the years of my life, it's crazy how weak the answer is. And I'm not saying that to you. I'm not slamming you. I'm just saying the answer is very weak. We don't have a very strong idea of why God sent his son. The average church attending person says, well, so we can be forgiven, so when we die, we can go to heaven. A lot of people think it's just so we can get blessed and protected and provided for. We don't understand that it's because we were always made to be one with him, and that union got lost through sin. So Jesus came and took care of the problem that kept us from having that union, and we got grafted back in. We got back to the Father. Jesus is the way back to the Father. It's a very big deal. It's so he could live in us again and live through us again so that him and I, you and him, could be one. So that who he is could actually be the revelation of my life and the manifestation of my life. And don't you sell that cheap. Don't you think light of that. And don't talk it down or around it. A lot of times we get caught talking around. We let our experience be our theology. Instead of his life and his spirit. So what we've experienced becomes our highest truth, but yet he's the truth. So we say, yeah, but everybody, and that's a dangerous phrase in the church. Yeah, but we all, we're not talking about we all, we're talking about him. We're not following we all, we're following him. Well, brother, you got to keep it real. You got to relate. No, I got to keep it Christ. So bear with me on that, because people fight over this stuff. I don't think we're looking for an excuse. to be however we are, but sometimes we talk around the highest truth and we miss the point and we say, yeah, but, well, we all, well, everybody, well, brother, everybody has their moments or everybody has their weakness. Well, brother, nobody's perfect. I'm not sure when we talk like that what we're trying to accomplish. Nobody's talking about perfection to begin with, but I don't know why we say that stuff. It's almost like we're always talking around the grace of God that was paid for to transform my life. So why am I relating so much to the way I've been when the way I've been hasn't been the way you've created me to be? If there's new life through Jesus Christ, he didn't say forgiven life, he said new life. New life is different than forgiveness. I think we're always thinking forgiveness. We think new life is forgiveness. New life is new life. You're a new creation, a new creature in Christ. In Christ. So you have to see in Christ. We're following him. He said the only way you're going to do that is you're going to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and now you're going to follow. Picking up your cross. Never let anything about life, what's going on in your life, what people have done to you, what people have said, all the wrongs, all the stuff out there. Don't get so caught up. Just pick up and carry your cross. Deny yourself. Carry your cross. Pick up and carry your cross and follow me. In other words, don't let anything change who he is in you and who he's designed to be in you and who he paid for to be in you. We got the election. We're in the election year. I don't want to get on this too much, but 2020 was COVID, and right on the heels of COVID was the election. I said, if it's possible to get F minus, the body of Christ got an F in COVID, an F minus in the election. I don't even know if it's possible to get an F minus, but I think we did it. It's caught up in stuff and people and politics, not even manifesting the heart and compassion of God or the love of God, cynical towards people. I heard President Biden made fun of so many times and sarcastically made fun of by Christians. It's tragic. He's a living soul. He's eternal. He needs mercy, forgiveness, a revelation. He needs Christ. Christians should actually be crying for a man instead of being cynical. But it just shows we don't understand just because we don't agree. So now we think it's because we don't agree, we have to have animosity. Well, I don't think God agrees with everything we've done, but I don't perceive the animosity, the belittlement. And I'm not saying, I'm not pulling political cards here and saying I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. I'm not saying any of that. I don't agree with a whole lot of stuff, but I don't pay a ton of attention. Some people try to correct me on that. I'm like, man, I've lived my life for 29 years in Christ and haven't paid a whole lot of attention to news and stuff and politics. And I don't think I've lacked anything, lost anything, or missed out on anything. I think I've had the time of my life, and it's been fun. And I might not know all the stuff you know about the political side of things, but man, we can live with Jesus and know him and walk in love and make a difference and have an impact in our everyday life. No matter who's sitting in the seat of president, it doesn't stop how God lives in me and how he wants to love through me. But as soon as you get your eyes on that stuff, it stops how God lives through and loves through people. Because I've saw a lot of people get outside of the love of God. COVID was just a freak out time for people. We're not even to love our own lives unto death. That's how we overcome, guys. We always say it's the blood and the word. Well, the blood and the word have to land on love and not your own life unto death. That's where they find power. They're all three together in Scripture. The blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and we love not our own lives unto death. We leave the third one out and quote the first two, beat the drums and say amen. And miss the third one that makes the first two powerful. So love them not your own life unto death isn't freaking out over a pandemic. It's just not. See, when you give your life to fear, you subvert authority. So Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Who knows that's in your Bible? I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Watch. And nothing by any means shall... Probably COVID's on that list. But because we don't understand that, we feel vulnerable. We've been sick. We've gotten head colds. We've gotten the flu and all this stuff. We don't understand the power of that scripture. Nothing by any means shall... Sounds like you're in the world and not of it. I want you to see something here. We're heading somewhere, I think. We'll find out. I'll find out with you when we get there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. So in the beginning, what was in the beginning? Woo! The Word was with God, and the Word was what? God Himself. That's powerful right there, ain't it? That just gets me laughing. I'm like, wow! In the beginning. You look up the word beginning in the Hebrew, it's a word that goes back and back and back till there is no beginning. I don't even know what the word is. Like the words, we study it out. It's mind-boggling. Genesis, in the beginning, it's a word that goes back to a point where there is no beginning. So there's, with God, he was, he is, and he is to come. The intellect says, well, where'd God come from? Well, who? And the intellect just tries to figure out God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. Who's the Word of God? Who's he talking about? Sure is. All things were made through him. Watch this. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend or overtake it. There was a man, he was sent from John, or from God, whose name was John. I'm sorry. Fighting a glare up here. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That how many might believe? Wow. Don't miss that stuff. Slow down. Don't miss none of this stuff. So is he for you to believe? Are you on his list to believe? Does he want you? Does he love you? You know how some circles and some people say there's a certain group that are called and a certain group that ain't called? There's so many scriptures like this that just blow that stuff out of the water. That who might believe? That's us. He was not the light, or that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. I'm heading somewhere. I want you to see this. This is astounding to me. And it should humble every one of us in the room. Because Jesus is who? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When? From the beginning. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was, now here's what I want you to see. So this is Jesus. He's the true light. And he's giving light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own. To who? And his own didn't receive him. Now, I don't want you to just think of a group of people in that day and age, in a chronological time. This is what happened on the earth and evolved in time and over time because of the fall of man and separation from God and life apart from him, apart from intimacy, apart from communion with Holy Spirit, apart from access to God and his Spirit and his presence. That when the one that was from the beginning, that was with God, that was God, came and spoke, they didn't even know him. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. And he came to his own, and his own didn't even receive him or knew him not. What it points to is just how perverse the fall of man was, and just how perverse the wisdom of the world, human intellect, and common knowledge is. And that's where most people that even go to church tend to function a priority of their time. Here's Truth himself standing in front of them speaking. It means it's the total opposite of what they're thinking. That's why they couldn't receive him. It's a 180 flip of the coin. It's the total opposite. Paul's preaching, getting beat nonstop for preaching the gospel. Why? Because everything he's saying is 180 degrees opposite of what they're looking at. And it's worthy of death. What he's saying is worthy of death. That's how perverse and corrupt the mentality of men were in even that day's Christian or church organization. Not Christian, church organization. Like in the temple, in the synagogue, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these are leaders. Everything was so perverse and so opposite. When Truth himself spoke, it was the total opposite of what they were seeing. And they actually believed it was worthy of death. That went on for approximately, 3 years, and they finally kill him for his words. That's sobering and startling. How proud the human mind can be. How puffed up the human heart can be. How intellectual and heady fallen man can be. And so sure that he's right and not realizing the fruit he's producing shows that he's wrong. But he's so sure that he's right. He's so right that he's right that he's right. They don't find he was wrong. They killed the truth. But you can't kill it. But they were the total. And we would have done it too. Don't think it was just some chronological thing. I mean, I see so many wars within the church. Be careful. I'm not here to harp on things. But social media, the little bit I know about it, it's a debate forum in a lot of cases. Be careful with that stuff. You don't need to spend time hashing out your thoughts with somebody that's arguing on a forum. Just go take a walk and love somebody. Go pray for somebody in a parking lot. Get off there and actually go accomplish something for the kingdom. Like it's just a debate form. It's a never-ending debate. Paul said, don't be wise in your own opinions, and we set up something for a million opinions. So everybody has to post what they think about everything that's out there. Just take a walk and go pray for somebody. Just think of every time you posted something, you'd have just took a walk and went and prayed for somebody. Your whole city'd be prayed for. That just might be from the Lord tonight. That we just give this homework assignment. Every time you feel like you need to respond on a post on social media, don't respond. Take a walk and pray for somebody. I just wanted you to see something. You all know that scripture's there. I had to choke back emotion talking about that, but that's inside me. I don't even feel emotional right now. But when I read that, that's inside me. That Jesus came and he wept with frustration, indignation. He wept with compassion because he saw they were sheep without a shepherd. And guess who he is? He's the good shepherd and they don't even know him. And he's here to shepherd them and they won't even let him because they can't hear his words because their mind is 180 degrees geared different. The fall of man is 180 degrees opposite of what man was created to be. So you and I were born into something called Adam, guys, before we got born again. We were born into something 180 degrees flip coin opposite of what we're here for. And we must be born. And we turn that into something that benefits me and takes me to heaven when I die and tries to believe I'm forgiven in most cases. Because people struggle with that. Shouldn't, but we tend to. And hope that I'm going to heaven when I die. And that's not the transforming power of God for your life. That actually makes you even more self-focused and self-conscious, especially if you're struggling with being forgiven. And then you wonder if you're saved. And then you wonder if you're going to heaven. And then you're in this war with your own soul. Instead of going, wait, That is not why he sent his son. The goal of the gospel is not so you can be forgiven and go to heaven. It's so you can get back to the Father and be one with him and be his sons and his daughters. Do you go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because God never made man to die, and Jesus redeemed the whole thing. Everything that God intended is redeemed through the blood of Jesus. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. That means there was no death in the picture until sin. So if Jesus takes care of sin, life comes back into the picture. So we become one with the eternal one, and we're never going to die. Nobody's going to snatch us out of the palm of his hand. We treat eternal life like it's a destination, instead of a union with the eternal one. Man, if you understood that, you would never be condemned again. You'd never question forgiveness. You would just see you're clean, and you'd be overjoyed with the forgiveness of the Lord. And you know what it would do? It would make you a very forgiving person. Why? Because you would realize you were forgiven of everything you've done. And you would have it. You'd be empowered to forgive the thing somebody's done. It's true. And if we miss this, I'm not being mean. This is Friday night. We're just getting started. I'm not being mean. Matthew 18 says the servant that was forgiven everything that he owed and didn't forgive his brother what he owed was an evil, wicked servant who was bound and living in outer darkness at the end of the story. That's how perverse unforgiveness is. It's not normal. It's not the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Unforgiveness is a self-centered choice that has rights behind it that you got through the fall of man from the kingdom of darkness. That's why it's an evil and wicked servant, servant in the house, not pagan, not Gentile, even an evil and wicked dweller in the house. Meaning your heart is completely contrast to the master. And you want the blessing of the master without becoming that blessing to others. And the whole purpose of God making man was to multiply himself through the man. Come on, this isn't complicated. He made man to manifest himself through the man. That's why you have a body. It's not a curse. I know some of you have been saying your body's a curse. No, your body's not a curse. It's a vessel in which you manifest what's on the inside. And your flesh isn't that evil, wicked part that always drags you away. You're supposed to have it crucified. You have a new heart. You're supposed to be denied of yourself and following Jesus so that your flesh can actually enjoy living sanctified spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5, blameless till he comes. Oh, I found this stuff in my Bible. And I believe it. I believe it because I'm not going to get tricked into this. Yeah, but brother, we all. Yeah, but you can't preach because the reality is your reality. Try to run your conversation by Jesus. See if he relates. Well, yeah, but brother, sometimes it's just hard to forgive. Where did you get that? Who taught you that? Where did you learn that? Through your feelings growing up in life. For your friends that can't forgive. You didn't learn that from Jesus. You got one teacher, and it's not your best friend. In fact, most of the time, our best friend is our best friend because they relate to us and understand our feelings. That doesn't mean they're helping us. Sometimes they're your support system to stay far away. They're actually, because the highest grace you're receiving is that they care about your feelings. How's that for straight talk? No, it's true. I mean, they're our friends in that moment because they understand. I don't need you to understand and allow me to stay where I'm at. I need you to call me higher and lift me into Christ. I need you to get me alone and look in my eyes and say, I'm confused why you're letting this hurt you so bad. Because I see it taking you into this place where I'm not even seeing Jesus in anything you're saying or doing. Now all of a sudden this person's become Lord and your whole life is revolving around how you feel about what they said. Hopefully you're deeper than that. See, that's this total insecurity, lack of identity, low esteem, and having no clue who you really are. Are you following? Come on, I found this stuff in Scripture. The Bible tells me to put off anger. It doesn't say manage it. Put it off. Which means anger, to the point of the identity of another. When you're angry towards a person, you say, well, angry and don't sin. You be careful with that one. I've heard people use that one. You can be indignant over something. You can be intense. I get intense. I'm like a raging. Sometimes I'm... But it's over things and topics. It's not at the cost of people and their identity. It's not directed to individuals to where it takes away from them. Get what I'm saying? Put off anger. The Bible says you yourself are to put off these things, anger. Why? Because anger comes from a self-centered motive. You're reacting to how you don't approve. And if God was angry the way you're relating to anger, you wouldn't be able to approach him. Until you'd come up with a way to make peace. Did you ever learn that people can't go back and take away what they did? Can't retract what they said? Nobody can ever make up for the wrong they've done. Did you ever learn that? Did you learn that along the way? Even when they're sincerely sorry, it never feels like enough to people. Because I won't forget what you did to me. God said, I'll remember their lawless deeds no more. So when God sees they're sorry, he's so God. And he's so clear and clean love. When he sees repentance and sees you're sorry, he will never see you for what you're sorry for. He will only see you through your sorry. And he remembers your lawless deed no more. I don't know about you. I don't want to find a way to intellectualize myself and analytically assess that enough to stay the other way. I want to be like him. That sounds like freedom. I don't know. That sounds like a doormat. People take advantage of you. I don't think God's a doormat. I don't think people are walking over Jesus. I think he's the living epistle of love. When you see him, you see the Father. We didn't deserve a thing, and he's standing there giving it all on the cross. And he's done nothing remotely wrong. And he's being crucified for it. Just because they don't understand his speech, and his speech is opposite. Are you still in John, the Gospel of John? Watch this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own didn't what? Even receive him. Watch this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of men, but of God. Ain't that something? So if you were given the right to be called the child of God, the children of God, what does that make God? What does that make God? Okay, because that's not a trick question. You can answer with more confidence. Not a trick question. If we're made to be the children of God, what's that make God? Now you answered strong. So that makes him our who? Go to 1 John 5. I want you to just see where humanity's been for a very long time. We think it's just different now. You get churches everywhere. There are so many Christian wars in the name of Christianity and wars out there. There's so many people hating on each other, arguing with each other, and theologically contesting each other, getting so caught up in it that their hearts are caught up in it, and maybe letting days, weeks, months, and years go by and not even loving the world around them. Just defending theology, just defending Scripture that they believe without manifesting Christ. You can talk the rest of your life Scripture, but if you ain't manifesting Christ, you're missing the whole point. be manifest in Christ. That means walking in peace and mercy and love, loving kindness and tender mercies. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive, bearing with one another. People get indignant when they don't agree with somebody's theology. People get angry. They get frustrated. And they qualify it because they say it's serious. You're deceiving people. Well, every time you're living outside of the heart of God, you're deceived. You can be so right that you're actually wrong. Like, you can be so right that you're wrong because you let being right make others wrong, and then you don't handle it in righteousness. So you give no chance for the wrong to even be made right. If God came right, we're wrong, Jesse. He came righteous. We were all wrong, and he empowered the wrong to be made right. He didn't come pushing right. He came pushing righteous, saying, you're more than you're living. You can be a whole lot more. Ain't that something? That's the difference between right and righteous. Right makes you wrong. Righteous makes wrong things right. So what did I do to be right in the sight of God? Just believed on his love, the finished work, the crucified Christ. That's all I've done. 1 minute in scripture, I'm alienated with a wicked, twisted motive working in my mind. And the next scripture, I'm reconciled through the body of his death, presented wholly blameless and above reproach in his sight. If I believe that, you better believe that. You better start there. Don't try to get there. Be there. I just wonder how many Christians really wake up every day and believe they're holy, blameless, and above reproach. Have total access to God because they're his children. So if we're the children of God, that makes him who? Our Father. So we agree on that one, right? I want you to see this. Do you know at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus healed a man that was laying there for a long time? Do you know he told the guy to get up and walk, and the guy took his mat and he took off, and then he got scolded for carrying his mat on the Sabbath? Is that rascal Jesus? He's always healing on the wrong day. Troublemaker, huh? Gee. Can you believe it? And he's even trying to tell him, guys, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Man wasn't made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was put in place for man. And he's trying to explain this stuff, but everything's become legalism, and they're so blind in religion. And here's a guy by the pool. He's sick. He's obviously sick. He can't get in the pool. The angel stirs the water, and somebody dives in ahead of him and catches the healing. Well, if they had any heart for the man, the Pharisees would have known he's there a long time. Just make a hedge around the pool. Hey, guys, next time the angel stirs, this dude's been here way longer than anybody. Nobody's getting in. We're going to lift him and lay him in. It's his day. It's his turn. What'd Jesus say to him? Do you want to be healed? Sounds sarcastic. I'm like, Jesus, how do you get away with that? The man's laying by the pool. He's sick. He says, do you want to be healed? That sounds offensive. Like, you think the guy would have said, what kind of crack question is that? What do you think I'm laying here for? But that was Jesus' question. Do you hear my voice? This is serious. He's getting to something. He's getting him to say something. He says, do you want to be healed? The man says, sir, I have no one to help me. Wrong. I'm standing right here. He says, I need to get in that water, and every time I go to try to get in, somebody gets in first. He says, sir, take your mat and get up and get out of here. What's he say? You better believe you have somebody to help you. It's me. The Pharisees wasn't helping. They're just making sure that he ain't carrying his mat in the wrong day. So they're not even like, what? He's healed? It's mind-boggling. They're like, wrong day. Certainly a devil in that man. No, that's what justified it. There is definitely a devil in that man. When the man at the pool of Siloam washed his eyes and got healed, and he gave him a... That's one of my favorite, like, that is powerful dialogue. between the man, the Pool of Siloam guy, and the Pharisees? He said, you want to be his disciple? Funny? This man's a sinner? Nobody's ever heard of a man opening the eyes of a blind from birth. And this man's a sinner? Come on. He gives it. He's laying into him. I just love the story. I'm like, oh my goodness. But he wasn't afraid of getting kicked out. Kicked out of what? It just fascinates me. All these people were afraid of getting kicked out of that. You shouldn't need kicked out. Oh, Lord. But you know what they said? This man's a sinner. That was the Pharisees' view of Jesus. This man's a sinner. This guy can't, God can't be working through him. He's a sinner. Why is he a sinner? Well, you know, that lady, you know that lady, you know who she was, washing his feet, up all his feet. Come on! That just freaked him out. There was a lot of stuff that freaked him out. Zacchaeus? You're going to his house? What? What's it tell you? We're having fun with it, but what's it tell you? That man's mind got 180 degrees twisted from the heart of God through the fall of man. That man didn't just sin on that day. He took on the nature of the very enemy of God. And that's what we don't understand. And self-centeredness became the motive of his life instead of love. Because if God made man in his image and God is love, God made man to love. So man got reduced from being love to needing love. And everybody in this room got born into needing love. And all the pain that comes with that, and the hurt and the letdown and the false little walls that everybody, and the boundaries that get crushed by people. What are we even doing? Anything you defend has the ability to get overrun and crushed. He's your rock. He's your defense. It's the truth in him that defends you. It's the motive of God that defends you. It's the heart and the love of God that defends you. He's a rock. Yeah? Come on. So everybody in this room, from the time you can remember, you had no identity. You were trying to find yourself. You didn't intentionally realize that and think about that. But when you hear a guy talking about it, you know it's true. You didn't know who you were. You needed valued, loved, supported, appreciated. You need to feel like you mattered. And you needed the right people and the important people with the right names in your life, like mom, dad, aunts, uncles. They were supposed to love you. Because you needed all that. You had a need list a mile long. Because when man sinned and got separated from God, his identity got lost. And he was no longer found as one with God and in the image of God. He was separated from God and in the image of the enemy. And he was all about himself. That's why you could get angry without practice. That's why you could be discouraged without study. That's why you'd be jealous and full of pride at a very young age and not even know it. It just comes with the package called separation from God, and just by sheer instinct, self-centeredness. That's why Jesus said, unless you deny your and pick up your cross, you'll never follow me. You can go to church, you can pastor, you can travel and preach, you can lead worship, you can do all night prayer. The goal was follow him, not do Christian things. We think doing Christian events makes us Christian. You can get so good at doing church and realize you never were her. You're still all caught up and bent up and out of shape in your heart and angry at this and opinionated about that. But she's singing all night. But then when somebody comes and preaches, we're like, oh, that's too much. Back off. Everybody's like that. Nobody's perfect. But I ain't even talking about perfect. Just talking about a little bit of Christ-likeness here. Talking about you yourself put off anger. How are you going to put off anger if you don't put off self-centeredness? Because the only reason you're angry is somebody violated you. Your will, your motive, your need, your preference. Sometimes it's just preference. Our preferences are Lord. Like our friendships suit our preferences most of the time. Most relationships, when we say, I love you, it's I need you. You work for me. Don't jump ship and break my heart. This is finally working. That's why people get so hurt by each other and get jaded and angry and don't even know if they, and women, you know, I heard this phrase growing up, you know, a woman will say, men can't live with them, can't live without them. And what are they saying? What they're saying is, I have a certain need in my life, but they sure ain't filling it, and I keep going back to them to get it. Now I'm going to get in trouble for this one. So then if men ain't working, maybe a lady will work. And it just confusion just keeps on going. Because it's all about me getting what I need. What you need is restoration to God through Jesus Christ. And get his spirit back in you. And get that old mind off of you. And get that new mind on you. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Not hard effort and discipline. You get renewed or you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't get transformed because you're working at it. You're seeing different. There's zero works in transformation. Did you know that? Zero works. You're not getting transformed because you're working at it. You're seeing different. And if you see it, you can be it. Once you see it, who's the light of the world? He is. You get it?
Yes.
And he came and he shone into the hearts of men. Woo, I see it. Paul said, I'm anointed to make all see. And we grow up, well, what you don't know won't hurt you. Oh, you heard that. You heard that growing up. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my hopes up. Well, you know, what you see is what you get. Well, you made your bed. You better sleep in it. You hear any of those phrases growing up? The Bible is the total opposite of those phrases, and that's just a couple. There's hundreds. And when you read the Bible, total opposite of the language we grew up speaking. Which means we were homeschooled in the wrong home. No, totally trained by a lie our whole lives. And the way that seemeth right to a man tutored every one of us by sheer instinct, just growing up, just angry and tit for tat. And he said, she said, and I feel, staying away from this and gravitating to this. And it was all survival and meeting my needs and getting through. By the time you're at a young age, you're nothing more than how you responded to how it unfolded. And that's your story. Then you're 35, 40, it's still your story. Unfortunately, you're 50, still your story. So when does old things pass away and all things become new? When do I actually become a new creation in Christ? Where it ain't just a confession, but a revelation. When I believe the gospel. When I understand that I was born into a lie, man. I was born into Adam. And I must be born. That is not a sinner's prayer, guys. That is not a sinner's prayer. Born again is a brand new mind. I'm not against the sinner's prayer. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's a tool. But unfortunately, when we use the sinner's prayer, we're not even telling people. We're just getting them to escape hell and go to heaven. We're just saying, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. What are you teaching people? It's just a self-serving motive. That's just me covering myself. It doesn't convict me being mad at my spouse. It doesn't convict me of not loving people around me. It's just taking care of me. Isn't it amazing how we've made the motive of our preaching self-centered? Because that's what attracts people. Teach something that benefits them and serves them instead of transforms them. Come on, you know it's true. We go to a special service and we're excited. See what God's going to do. How many of us are actually thinking, speak to me and make me what you paid for. Do in me whatever necessary to make me look like you.
How many of us are waking up and having that kind of communion with God where we're walking through our bedroom? Nobody owes me a thing. I'm on the earth for one reason. You woke me up today to give me another day to look more like you. You made me for your image, not mine. And I ain't trying to fit into this world. I'm trying to love this world. God, thank you for a revelation. Yeah? And all of a sudden, nobody owes you a thing, and it's real. It's actually real. Your wife doesn't even owe you anything. Woo! Hello? All of a sudden, your spouse doesn't even have the power to change your disposition. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, and you're surrendered. You're not on the earth for her or him to love you. You're on the earth to be like Jesus. Boy, that'll make your marriage something. I'll tell you what, when I needed my wife, my marriage was pitiful. When I got to the point where I realized I didn't need her, but I was called the lover, and I didn't need her, but I loved her, changed everything. Woo-hoo! I'm just done selling cheap. I found I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price, and I'm not my... What does that mean? How can we say we denied ourselves and we're so full of rights? Attitudes, frustration, issues. What are we supposed to do with issues? Give up your life subscription to issues. Cancel it. Some of you got a life subscription to issues. Cancel that thing. Look, I'm just trying to show you that when Jesus came... The way they thought was so perverse and opposite of him. Why would we think it's any different today in the church? That's why there's, I'm just being real. That's why there's a church on every street corner. It's not because God called every single one to build a church. I'm not saying who's who and who's not. That's not my business. But there's no way that God's ordained a church for every street corner with a different denomination name and twist to it. The pure in heart shall what? So if we were pure, we'd all see. The pure in heart will. To the pure, all things are. Do you know how tricky this thing is? You can grow up honoring something. And you grew up, you knew a man, you honor something. And the only way you read your Bible is through that. And then you judge everything you hear through that. So the whole time you're never even hearing, you're listening for what doesn't fit. That's how Jesus, being the truth, he wasn't just preaching the truth, he was the truth. There's no greater dialogue than coming out of Jesus. The red letters of the gospel, John G. Lake called it the Supreme Court of God. So here's red letters, the truth, coming out of Jesus for 3-something years. They kill him for his words. Why? How's it possible not to hear him in time? They never were listening to hear him. They were listening to what they didn't agree with. They were always listening for what they didn't agree with, so they never even heard what he said. People do it today, all the time. They'll listen to a preacher that's not in their circle. Take a sentence they said, chop it up and do a whole long segment, single-handed, without the person there or anyone to bear witness of anything else, but what they're saying, and just chop up a one-sided thing and just chop up. I listened to one time, a friend of mine, and I thought, how could you say anything about this guy? Because I don't get on the internet. People say, oh, they're talking pretty nasty about you out there. I'm like, God, I don't care less. Some of my friends get caught up in that, and they... One of my friends told me they started to debate back with somebody. He said, you don't even know this man. You're saying this. He doesn't even mean that. You're twisting what he means. You're just doing this. And he stays in my home. I see him twice a year. He says, most Christ-like. And I said, don't you ever get on there and write nothing like that. He's just going to chop that up and spit it right back out at you. Just go pray for somebody. He said, well, I just care about you, and I felt like I had to defend you. You do not have to defend me. Stop. He's my rock and defense. Like, you shouldn't even care about what nobody's saying like that that's coming up with stuff like that. One guy said, man, they had you preaching this thing. You said like five sentences. They pieced it together. You had three different shirts on. He said it was pretty obvious that they were spliced. So if somebody's doing that, they have to know they're doing it. So you're already, it's a dead end street because they have to know they're doing it. And they don't care. Why would you even give the time of day to that? Who cares what anybody's saying about you or me if you got peace in your heart with God, you're hearing his voice and you're walking in love and loving people? Like, how can you touch that? You're too late to persecute me. No, like this, we're 29 years in, guys. I'm as fired up as I've ever been. Like, I'm going to hear his voice. I'm going to lay on that bed you blessed me with, and he's going to be on me this morning. We're going to wake up in the morning together. They nothing nobody can do about that. There, you can't write an article wretched enough to stop that. And then I'm going to sit on a plane, hear a little something, hey. And they're going to cry. And God's just going to move in my life, and there's nothing you can do about it. The only thing you'd say is, I'm lying, or I'm of the devil. It's the only thing you can say, and I guess one day we'll find out who's right. But I'm going to stay free and go love people. I ain't reading that stuff. I have to tell my friends, get out of that stuff. They're just spending so much time in that. How do you even know all that stuff? Like, why aren't you just out praying for somebody? There's a lot of distractions, a lot of things that are eating time, and we think we're busy. You might be making yourself busy. You might not even be close to as busy as you think you are. I mean, just 2 hours just catching up on Facebook. That's not busy. That's willing. Oh, it's quiet now. Oh, no, I feel that one. I feel that's a... It was a peaceful quiet. There wasn't like, it wasn't vibrating quiet. It was just a, like, okay, skip that one. What's next, brother? No, it was a peaceful quiet, but quiet. I want you to see something. John 5. So he heals this man. Here's why we turn here. Because as many as believe were given the right to be called the what? Children or sons of God. And if we're called children or sons, that makes him what? Okay, good. You're finally answering bold on that one. Wasn't a trick question. Jesus finds this guy afterwards in verse 14. And he says, see, you've been made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. All I see that saying right there, he's not saying, see, some people teach that specific sin. It's just a sin consciousness, a sin awareness. The church doesn't even realize, we don't even realize how tricked we get into a sin consciousness, and we call it humility. Well, ain't nobody perfect. Well, brother, we're always sinning. Ain't nobody going to be perfect till Jesus comes. And I don't know what we're trying to protect or we're afraid of, but it's like we have to bear witness of our ability to sin. And we call that humility. It's false humility. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ. So how can I reckon myself dead to sin and keep talking about my ability to live in it? Let me quote another one for you. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. He bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. And by his stripes we're healed. So why do we think we always have to talk about imperfection? Because we're not even talking about perfection. We're talking about identity. He didn't write to the sinners of Ephesus. He wrote to the saints. Holy and beloved. He didn't write to the church in Colossae, who's about to miss it any moment, thank God for the blood. And then write a whole chapter. He just called them saints. Here's what we don't understand. It's all about identity. It's all about taking off the old garment and putting on the new one. If I put on right standing with God every day and keep it on, it's going to produce its own fruit to holiness. It bears a fruit.
So as a man thinketh, so he is. So if I see myself clean in the sight of God, it begins to conduct my life with a clean conviction. Anything outside of that conviction gets noticed immediately. And I begin to push it away, cast it down, re-identify myself. Wow, God, thank you that you didn't make me for that. And now I'm on this amazing righteous journey, because what does Galatians even mean? You can't even preach this stuff in church without people going crazy. He who lives in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. People don't even preach on that because everybody blows a heresy whistle. But it's in your Bible. That it's possible to live by the truth. Living by the Spirit means to live by the truth. The Word is Spirit and life. It's not some spooky place. Living by the Spirit. It's living by the truth. He who's living in the truth, empowered by God's Spirit, of course, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What do you do with that? I'm curious what that looks like. So when you're not looking, I sit on my bed and weep and say, don't let me intellectualize, get analytical, and get caught up into the corporate chatter. I want to walk in everything you paid for. I don't want to talk around it. I don't want to talk out of it. If you paid for it, I want it. If you said I can live by the Spirit and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, that sounds amazing, because the lust of the flesh is a zero. In fact, 2 Peter 1, I partake of his divine nature, escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust. Not talking about sexual stuff all the time. The word lust, it means self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. I've just partaken of his divine nature. Whoa! Out of darkness, into light. Escape the corruption that's all around me through men living for their own desire. Which means his nature is separate from that. But we'll say, yeah, but brother, you're always going to sin. Why do we think we have to always say that? How can you say that and be reckoned dead to sin? You're defending something that's supposed to be dead. And then when you preach what I'm preaching, that's supposed to be heresy. But the people that are saying that, it's inspired. It's demonic language. Because you're taking away the identity he paid for. What you're saying is the thing you paid to dress me in don't fit me right. Doesn't settle in my mind. But it fits you beautifully if you just put it on. Tailor made, handcrafted. That garment of salvation, that robe of righteousness was made for you. Got your name on the inseam. It's for you. Put it on. Stand before him and be right. Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Why? Because you were buried into death in the baptism of the death of Jesus Christ. And the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives unto God. Likewise, you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. So I'm never, ever, never, did you hear that amplification? Ever waking up trying not to sin. Frivolous. I'm waking up enjoying being his. I'm wearing what he paid for. I'm accepted. I'm clean, blameless, holy, and above reproach in his sight. See, it doesn't even matter what you say about that. It matters that I believe that because I found that in the Word of God. It doesn't even mean if everybody's tricked into not preaching it. It's there. There's a reason some of this stuff's getting skipped over. There's this blinding thing. Something's going on. And now we're keeping things alive in our language that are supposed to be dead through the blood. Now all we're pursuing is protection and blessing and provision. Sometimes the only reason we pray is because there's trouble. Which means you're afraid. So your prayer isn't really prayer. It's just fear with language. Why aren't you just thanking God you're in covenant? Paul gets bit by a viper. Cut me a break, guys. If some Pacific East, some Pacific, West Coast, whatever rattlers you have out here would slide in this meeting and bite somebody on the ankle. People that don't even believe in praying in tongues are trying just so they don't die. And the knowledge of the snake alone strikes fear into the hearts of people. Because the knowledge of the snake has superseded the knowledge of the Son of God in our lives. We think it's a prayer issue because he got bit by a viper. Paul didn't even pray. He never even missed his conversation. He just flipped it in the fire and just kept doing what he's doing as if it never happened. Why? Because in the heart of covenant, it's already done and covered. Nothing by any means shall harm you. Watch. So when you get bit, how can you pray when you get bit and not call it fear? Because what's inspiring your prayer? The knowledge of the snake. But when you have the knowledge of the Son of God, it's not just shake it in the fire and keep talking because you're in covenant and it's all good. Most of the time we pray, you're supposed to pray that the gospel is preached clearly as all. Pray for those in authority, not complain and get cynical and make fun of them. Pray for those in authority. Pray that the gospel be preached. Pray for all men. Most of the stuff we're praying for is stuff, trouble, lists, needs, wants. And a lot of that is covered in, wow, thank you, because I see it. Wow, I sure appreciate COVID spreading. Wow, thank you for covenant. My goodness, what would it? You read an article, and it's the newest finding in why there's 99%, 0.9% of cancers on the earth, and you read that you've ingested four of those ingredients for the last 25 years. And then the next article, you're standing there, mealy mouth, going to the person with tears in your eye, can you just pray like a... like a cleansing. Can you just pray like God would just wash through me? Just a cleansing, just from living life. Why? Because you took to heart the article and it rose above the knowledge of the Son of God. When you read the article, why don't you read the article and go, whew, man, if I wasn't in covenant with you, I'd be on this list. Oh my goodness. I don't even know what I'm reading it for in the first place. I got a better list. I'm reading this. But you know how we do, little symptom, web medic. If you have this and this, click here. Ooh. Click here. Ooh. Click here. Ah! Hey, can you pray for me? Zero authority. Now you're disheartened and wondering why the word don't work. What are we doing wrong? Because I know they were anointed. Oh, I've been around us a little bit. How do you overcome? You love not your... You got to settle that in prayer. Nobody's waking up to die, but you should be dead to yourself. So when you're living for yourself, you're dead already. Really, that's the truth. You can't be a Christian... I try to convey this. Somebody help me if there's a better way to explain it. But I say it this way all the time because it's the only thing I know. You can't be a Christian for your own sake. You can't be a Christian for you. You have to be a Christian for his great name, for his glory. You have to be a Christian to rightly manifest him. You can't be a Christian for what you get from him. You got to be a Christian for what you become because of him. That's expressive. That's fruitful. Just being a Christian for your sake is a bummer. You're not doing well. Like, your life's not exciting and fun. No, you're very self-focused. You're circumstance-driven. All your prayers revolve around season 11, Saugus, episode 12 of season 11. And it's like this spiritual thing, like, and it's just all about you and every day, and I bind you, devil, and that was just to steal my peace. And so self-conscious, it's like so self-focused, it's actually unbelievable to me. And it's just all about you and your day and your feelings and your circumstances. Instead of how you're manifesting Christ on the world around you, you're tricked into survival. And you think like you're in a movie, like you're in a Christian movie and God's getting you to your bed at night safe. And then you get up the next morning, doo 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 doo.
And you're going to pray your way through another day. Come on, I watch Christians do it all the time. It's just all about me and how I feel and what I'm going through and what they did. And you ask a Christian how they're doing, they will tell you the two biggest trials in their life and say, keep me in prayer. Which means I'm only doing as good as it's going. And how it's going is who I am and how I feel. Say, sure glad you came, Dan. No, come on, you can hear that. That's not hard to hear. Just hear it. Be humble and hear it. And if that's you, kick that shoe off. Say, woo, I ain't wearing that. And that is no perfect fit. Don't be Cinderella on that one. If that shoe fit, kick it off. Okay, I got to try to get to John 5. What time is it? What? Oh, I'm in California. I got you. No, I got you. I'm from the East Coast. It's 12:03. You can tell how wore out I am. It's 12:03. I've been up since 3 a.m. I had to get to the airport and get here from the East Coast. It's 12:03. It ain't 9:03. Don't you act tired on me. Don't you think you've been preaching so long? Is he ever going to stop? Maybe. I mean, if you get done before me, I won't get offended. Slip out. It's 12:03. You got 3 hours to catch me, and then I'll be at 3:03. So I got you. There ain't no way around this. I got you tonight. I'm in California. Woo! 12:03. You can see I'm wearing down, too. You can see I'm just about out of gas. Oh my goodness, I'm having so much fun with this. People are like, is he out of his mind? Out of yours. It did get late quick. Wow. We started at 7? Man. I feel like I hardly just got started, but I'm just because I'm trying to preach one little section of scripture, but I said a lot, I guess. Yeah. I'm trying to get to John 5. I want you to see this and don't judge it when we read it because it's scripture. So don't jump out ahead of where we're at when we read this, but watch this. So Jesus heals this man. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Y'all see that in your Bible? Verse 15, some of you gave up for just following along, didn't you? You just gave up. You just closed your Bible. John 5, 16, watch. For this reason, the Jews, they persecuted Jesus and they sought to what? Kill him. Why? Because this was done on the Sabbath. So they said, okay, this is it. This guy's pushing the envelope. He's healing on the Sabbath. He is worthy of death. We need to kill this dude. Who sees that's in your Bible? Now watch. Jesus' response to their motive. Who knows that Jesus hears their thoughts all through the Bible? It's happened to me. I know I'll get criticized for saying this. I don't say this stuff and get taped too much and stuff. But it's happened to me so many times. I'll be preaching and I'll hear somebody ask a question. I'll just hear a question in my heart right in the middle of preaching. And I'll ask it without saying the question. I'll answer it. Like I'll hear a thought and I know it's the love of God. Like the thought is detrimental to somebody. It's keeping them from hearing anything else. And right in the middle, and somebody will come to me and somebody will come to me and somebody will come to me at the end. They'll say, it was crazy. It was like God was reading my mind when you were preaching. Like as soon as I would think something, you'd answer it. And I'm like, really? That's awesome. He just loves you. I wasn't like,
that's because I heard.
No. People want a badge for that. That should happen in our lives all the time. Like we want a badge for that. We gotta note that. No, the Lord told me a long time ago. He said, Dan, I can tell myself anything. That's something. He said, you become one with my heart and you're in. And I said, amen. It's amazing the stuff he'll let you in on and the things he'll show you in the thoughts of men. And you can answer them without even exposing the thoughts of men. Just answer.
Huh.
Ain't that awesome? Without coming across as prophetic.
Don't need a badge. Just need to be sharp and in Him. Have your motive pure. Because the pure in heart will see God. It's pretty cool that Jesus is ministering and He's hearing thoughts. And you can see Him do it in Scripture. He's addressing their contrary thoughts while He's talking. And it's just stuff going on in their minds. And in their conversations that's not up open for public. Like they lower the man down, paralytic. He says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Their minds went on tilt when He said, your sins are forgiven. Who's this man thinking he is to forgive sin? He immediately said, why do you always bicker and debate and think evil things in your heart? He answered it immediately. You want to be sharp like that. So Jesus, when they're doing this, he ought to be killed. He's healing on the Sabbath. Jesus said to them, look what He said. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So what did He just say to this culture and to these people? That God was who? Oh my goodness. For all that believe, we're given the right to be called what? And if we're sons, then He's what? Watch this. This is intense. This is what the fall of man did to humanity. This is the church, guys, the present day church. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Him. Bad enough this dude is healing on the wrong day. Now he just insinuated God's His Father. Who does He think He is? He needs to die. Ain't that something? Because He not only broke the Sabbath, but He said that God was His Father. What was their problem with that? Look what it says in your Bible. This is what, don't judge this right away. Just hear what I have to say. Don't just hear what I'm not saying. Watch. Why were they so offended by Him calling God His Father? Because to call God His Father is making Himself equal with God. Making Himself one. Meaning who He is in Him. He's the family. He's a son. Like father, like son. DNA, inheritance, nature. We're not saying we're God. He's saying we're His children. Meaning who He is in us, and it puts us on the same plane as family. John G. Lake understood this so well and got persecuted for it. But he said, God made man to live on His plane. Seated in come up, come out from among them and be ye. Do not be conformed to the, but transformed by thinking like you've never thought before. Come on, scripture after scripture. Jesus, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And greater things, because I'm going to my Father. Sounds like we're one. Watch. Walk in the light, somewhat like He's in the light. As close as you can get to as He's in light. Or does it say walk in the light? What's Ephesians 5:1 say? Walk in love as dear children, somewhat like Jesus loved. Just like Jesus loved. I'm not being mean to you. Most of the church doesn't even believe that's possible. Let alone believe, like go after it. They don't even believe it's possible. Be real with me. 1 John 2, you know what it says? Any man that says he abides in Him ought to walk even as He walked. Be real with me. The average person that goes to church doesn't even believe that's possible, because that's Jesus and this is us. Forget the Holy Spirit and the one that raised Him from the dead that'll quicken our mortal body and make all things possible. Forget that all things are possible then, but believe, because all things are possible with God. Come on. Oh, that's chapter 2. That's chapter 2. You abide in Him, you ought to walk even as He walked.
You know what chapter 3 says? If you have this hope of eternal life and seeing him as he is, becoming like him, anyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now you be honest with me. The average Christian doesn't even consider that that's even remotely possible. But it's scripture. And then when you preach it, because we're just a bunch of worms. No, we're sons and daughters. No, we're just a bunch of sin-prone. No, we were made for his image, to live by his spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if I add these things to my faith, I'll never stumble, and there will always be an entranceway into his everlasting kingdom and light. Oh, I got a lot of scripture on this. That's chapter 3. Purifies himself even as he is pure? Well, why is Jesus talking about the pure in heart if it ain't possible to have one? And are there levels of purity, or is pure pure? And anything less than pure is unpure or impure. Huh? Huh? Ain't that something? Do you know what chapter 4 says in 1 John? It says, if you love, it's because you know God. It says, if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. He didn't say you don't see your need for a Savior. He didn't say you didn't pray a prayer of repentance. He didn't say you weren't forgiven of your sins. He just said, if you don't love, it's because you don't know God, is one reason. That means you can't know him and not be changed by him. He's a little influential. So if you don't love, it's because you don't know him. So it's not trying to love. It's not trying to put on your love. It's getting to know him more. Because God is. So it says this in 17. It says, love is perfected in this. Because it says a lot of beautiful things. Like, we didn't first love him. He loved us. This is love of God, that God sent his son. It says, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? It goes on down. He is love. He is love. He is love. And in 17, it says, this is how we know love's been perfected in this. That we have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness. You find scriptures where people have boldness in the day of judgment. They have fear, trepidation. It's a day of gloom, dread, darkness. Because they can't face him. They're so far from him, they can't face him. It says we're supposed to have boldness when he comes. Why? How? Because as he is, so are we. In the world right now, the manifestation of Christ, that is way different than just meeting my needs and getting me through my day and bless me and protect me. This is why God sent his son, that he could put his life and nature and wisdom and heart and love back inside of you. So you could get up and live by the Spirit of God and walk in the light as he's in the light. And be the manifestation of God. Why? Because we're his children. So scriptural. When Jesus called God his father, the leaders of the church were infuriated and said, who does he think he is? He needs to die all the more. When they asked him how to pray, what did he say? When you pray, pray saying,
what's he saying? Guys, he's not only my father, he's your father too.
I just want you to catch that tonight and just let the Holy Spirit humble us in the fact that he came to his own and his own knew him not. And when he spoke, they didn't receive him. Why? The fall of man had such an effect on man, changed his nature, his wisdom, his understanding so profusely that when truth himself stood in front of them, they couldn't possibly see truth. That's pretty intense. I got to wrap up. It's late. My goodness, I can't believe it's this late. So what do you do with something like tonight? Be a student of the Word. Get in the Word and take your time. And don't read it to defend anything. Read it to know Him. Read it to find Him. And here's what I did. I went in the Word of God. I wanted to try to find Him. And I didn't know that as I found him, I found me. I found myself in him.
And I just know my 29 years of Christian living, I wouldn't trade none of it in. I wouldn't trade the trials. I wouldn't trade the whole thing I've been through with my family. I wouldn't trade the witchcraft. I wouldn't trade nothing. Because it was all a part of believing him in those seasons and getting a revelation to where I'm passionate and I don't need Shadrach's story anymore. I got my own stories. You see, I wouldn't trade it. Like, well, some of us are praying for no fire because we know the fire would change us. The Hebrew boy said, "Your fire, what's your fire to us, O king? We don't even have a need to answer you in the matter. It ain't even about your fire. It's about compromise and fearing and bowing to something that's not Lord." Fire? Are you kidding me? It wasn't about the fire with them. With us, it's about the circumstance. We're waiting for the person to change. We'll be okay when they change. And we should have been okay before any of that. Are you seeing? Because you're not going to have impact if you're influenced. You got to be influenced this way. And love not your own life unto death. So you can have total impact this way. If you're just praying for a new job because you can't stand the people you work with, you're missing the whole point. No, people hate their job because they hate their boss. And they think their boss is this and that and the other, and they don't even have compassion for their boss because they have self-centeredness in their life and won't admit it. So instead of having compassion, they have anger. Instead of having mercy, they have frustration. Well, yeah, but you don't know what he's doing. Stop. God does not have that conversation concerning you. If he does, it's this way. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they're doing. Not the right to be something outside of him. The last thing I need is a story that justifies me not living like Christ. The last thing I need is to get your sympathy where you don't know what I've been through and how long it's been going on and find a compromise to not manifest Christ. I can't find that in him. Can you find that in him? Can you find him dropping the cross and stopping short and saying, "This ain't right, this ain't fair, look what they've done to me. They release a murderer, I'm raising the dead. They release a guy causing conspiracy, I'm trying to make peace. They want him to die, live and me die. This is nuts, man. I healed people, I cleansed their lepers, I raised their dead, I fed their bellies. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. I don't even know what I'm trying to accomplish here. They don't appreciate me. Come on." You don't see any of that in Jesus. So he didn't teach us to feel that way or talk that way. We didn't get that from him. We probably ought to put it away. Y'all good with that? You're not just going to listen to this and go out and live this. You become this. You get alone in prayer. I've learned this over the years and I believe it's straight up true. The only way to become love is want to be. You have to be a sincere yes in your heart. You can't just say amen to the message and then the rubber meet the road and you find you're not surrendered. The only way you get surrendered is alone in prayer. You get alone and you tell the Lord, "Man, all I want is what you made me for and paid for. And I want to love like you, live like you, look through your eyes. And when I get thrown into stuff, I want to respond just like you would if you were standing in my shoes. Holy Spirit, I appreciate you. Thanks for leading me through life." But you let him know that the whole reason you're in this thing is to be more like him. If you're just in this thing to catch a break, get a prayer to get answered, now you're only as good as that prayer's answered. Then if the prayer ain't answered, what's wrong with my prayers? Why ain't my faith working? Is God mad at me? Why is he letting the devil do this? Did I open a door? And now you got 25 questions, which means you have no revelation. And if you think of the line of questioning, it's all about you and your circumstance. Are you with me? Good, good, good. Is it too late to pray for the sick? Can we pray for the sick? You guys good? It's 12:21. You should be all right. Can we pray for the sick? Y'all all right if we pray for the sick? Here's why I always pray for the sick. I try Friday nights to do that a lot. The Lord's not going to tell me no because it's right to pray for the sick. I don't know if what inspires you to pray for the sick. I used to pray for the sick because I hate people being sick, and I would pray for the sick because they were sick. That would get me all emotional and frustrated and grunting and snorting. And I learned that the grunting and snorting never healed nobody. Whoever learned to grunting and snorting did never heal nobody. Yeah, that's how I felt. good. Here's what I've learned. You pray for the sick because of the forgiveness of sins. If he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven, he's teaching us, isn't he? Do you think they tore the roof off and lowered a paralytic down so that his sins could get forgiven? They're not even thinking that, because when he said that, their minds went on tilt. Why did they tear off the roof and put him down there? Because he's healing people and their friend's sick, and they tore the roof off. It's pretty dramatic. And they lowered him to the floor in front of Jesus so that he could be seen by the Lord. And Jesus, being a teacher, said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. He's not trying to create trouble. He's teaching. They indignantly, who's he to think he is to forgive sin? And I bet the boys that lowered him down, we can't prove this, but I wouldn't be surprised one day to find out when they said that, they were probably like, okay, great, how about getting him up? Because it didn't impact them, because they don't understand the significance of being forgiven. Do you know that the reason 2 Corinthians 5 says that God was pleading through Jesus to be reconciled with him, with God. Like, he sent Jesus to reconcile the world to God, not imputing their trespasses, treating them as if they were innocent. We miss this stuff. So Jesus is on the earth healing everybody he touches. Why? Not imputing trespasses, treating every man as he's innocent. Already a sign, a type, a shadow of the blood that's going to speak better things. The fact that I'm here is mercy. The fact that I'm here, God's not mad. The fact that I'm here, I'm redeeming and restoring and making things right. Not imputing their trespasses, which accessed him to pray for their sick and raise their dead and cast out their devils. Why? Because when he doesn't impute trespasses, they're no longer guilty in the sight of God, even though we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You get it? Now we have his shed blood that speaks better things. Daniel's in the lion's den all night. The king runs and says, Daniel, after he saw the error of his decree, right? He says, was your God able to shut the mouths of the lions? He fasted and prayed all night. What'd Daniel say? Oh, yes, O king, for as much as he found me innocent in his sight, he shut the mouth of every lion. What are you through the blood of Jesus? Are you innocent?
Yes.
You ought to know it. In his sight, innocent. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Now that doesn't mean you go live lascivious and just plead innocence, because you have a conscience. And when you just do things willfully, your conscience violates and you shipwreck your faith. Now you can't even claim that innocent thing because your conscience says you're guilty. So I didn't find a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free. You get it? Woo! So why is he healing all these people in the Gospels? Because he's not holding them accountable to their sins. He's not imputing their trespasses. He gives it away in 2 Corinthians 5. And he says, you and I ought to be the same kind of ambassador, going out, judging no man again according to the flesh, but seeing men for what they're created for and ministering the same gospel as if imploring them, be reconciled to God. What do? Go out and point out their sin. Scripture doesn't say to do that. So that's why we pray for the sick. That's why I'm inspired to pray for the sick, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was lifted up on a cross. Moses lifted the serpent on the pole. The reason he put a brown serpent on a pole and lifted it up, because the Hebrew people knew the Levitical law. Anything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So when Moses made a replica of the thing that was killing them and put it on a pole, the Israelites looked up and said, oh my goodness, Moses prayed and God heard. Look, he cursed what was killing us. And it was that anyone that looked that was bitten was instantly healed. Why? Because the faith rose in their heart and they knew God cursed the thing that was killing them. Even as so shall the Son of Man be. Did God curse Jesus on the cross? Or was Jesus made to be sin? What did he curse on the cross? Sin in the flesh. Therefore, sin shall have no dominion over us. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life through Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I should look up at the Son crucified and see that God cursed sin in the flesh, and sin has no dominion. Why are people healed? Because of the forgiveness of sins. Why are Christians constantly tricked into guilt, condemnation, and shame? Because it's an anti-finished work move of the devil to get people thinking they're not clean, they're not forgiven, they're not pure, they're not holy, they're not blameless. That's why people have flashbacks and memories, feel dirty, defiled, repent for the seventh time, call for prayer again and again. Instead of calling the matter dead and stepping out and being clean no matter what they remember. And if they remember it, they ought to just lift their voice. Father, I thank you. You've transformed my life forever. I am clean in the matter. Wow. You've made me wiser, sharper. You have washed me in the precious blood of Jesus. You have a little flashback and a memory. You don't need prayer. You need truth. Truth is what makes you free. But we're internalizing every feeling, every memory, every emotion, and then we're trying to get ministry for all that stuff to go away instead of just stop believing it. Because it's not in your heart. Pretty simple. We're going to pray for the sick. I know it's late. It'll take a little while to do this because I want to teach and train as well. But when you pray for the sick, listen, just keep it simple and keep it short. The Lord tells me to tell people this everywhere I go. And I've been doing this for a long time this way. It's not your prayer that heals the sick. So let's stop trying to pray so right, hard, powerful, and anointed. Because most people are under pressure when they pray, and they're very self-conscious when they pray for the sick. They're trying to pray right and powerful. We think we're the move of God. Come on, be honest. Who's ever prayed for the sick in this room? Seriously, you prayed for the sick. Be honest, when you go to pray for the sick, the first thing you think about is what you're going to pray and what you're going to say. And you're very self-focused on your prayer. Well, I got good news for you. It ain't your prayer that's healing anybody. It never has, never will. So watch, be whole in Jesus' name is probably plenty if there's a revelation behind that. But praying all this scripture, we're just trying to build ourselves up most of the time. We even amplify our voice. We change our voice. We put on our intercession voice. We talk like we don't even talk all day, and then we go to pray for the sick, and we talk in an accent we don't even talk all day. You know I'm telling the truth. That's why you're all giggling. Father God, I just come to you right now in the holy name of Jesus. And I'm not making fun of people. I'm just saying we're trying way too hard. And it's a sure way to shut down the room. Because if God starts moving on that stuff, then we ought to all go to prayer college and get a 4.0. before we even pray for the sick. But a child can pray for the sick. My little granddaughter prayed for my wife. Pain, you come out of my Grammy. Bye-bye. She's 3, and my wife goes, because everything left. It's not her prayer. Yeah. So there's two conditions and situations you pray. See, I found that the number one reason people don't pray for the sick, it's not their theological hang up. I used to think it was their theological indifference. But I've come to learn, I believe this from just surveying and interviewing and talking. The number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen. And they don't want to be in that situation. So they back off and don't even pray for the sick, therefore having the thing they're afraid of all the time. So if you never pray for the sick, you always have what you say you're afraid of, nothing. So you're guaranteed nothing. So you go to church your whole life and you don't get involved and pray for the sick. You say, well, he has a healing ministry. Well, he's anointed. Well, certain people pray for the sick. No, these signs follow those that. But we'd all say we're believers, meaning we believe in him. But the sign of a believer is you'll lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. But we turn recover into a place and time, we turn it into a right now thing. We say, you know, we don't understand believing. So we're like, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know why he didn't heal. I don't know why it ain't happening. And then we get driven by the moment instead of moved by truth and faith. Make sense? So tonight we're going to pray for the sick. It'll be a lot of fun. You'll pray for two situations, lots of sickness. But two major situations, people that would know if they're healed because they have manifestations and symptoms. Okay? We just saw a man this past week, we did a little exercise like this. There's a man in a recovery program. He fell off a scaffolding when he was 17. He's 52. Do the math. That's 35 years. 20 feet off a scaffolding. broke two vertebrae and had a fusion in his back and was in extreme pain for 35 years. That's a Bible story. He can't bend over. He's fused. He can't tie his shoes. He has to get his shoes up as high as he can onto something and try to tie them. And it's been a very painful journey. He said, getting his foot up high on the chair and trying to tie, it's always with pain. He can't bend. He's in pain. He's always aware of this problem for 35 years from falling off the scaffolding. 5-6 seconds of prayer by a man that never prayed for the sick. Another guy in the recovery that was saved but never prayed for the sick. Didn't even think about praying for the sick. Didn't really even know he could. We made it simple. It's God's finished work. It's his love for the people. It's not your prayer. We're just ministering something that's here called the gospel. He prays for this guy, and for the first time in 35 years, standing straight, could bend over and tie his shoes and untie them. He did it several times just because he could. And cried and cried and cried as he tied his shoes because he couldn't even bend for 35 years. And all of a sudden, in a moment, he's doing what he couldn't do for 35 years as if he never fell off the scaffolding. People, that's called redemption, brought back to original. Now, he suffered 35 years. The pain was real and he got the fusion. I get it. But the whole time the gospel's on the earth. The whole time. And it's time we step into the gospel and let the gospel come on these things. Yeah? You say, well, what happened if he didn't, Abel? Well, we still got to get in there and believe. We still got to keep believing for him. The person that's in this place still has to continue to believe God's good and he's doing a work. You can't just get so linear and rigid, and that's where we jump ship. And we go, well, you know, something ain't working. Well, that right there. Turning faith into a point in time. 30-day money-back guarantee. 60-day, try me, see if you like me. That ain't faith. Faith's believing. Father, you're for me, not against me. You love me. You paid a price. You washed me, and I believe you're redeeming every bone in my body. Thank you for what you're doing. You wake up in the morning, and you go to tie your shoes. Father, I just thank you. And it hurts, and it's hard, and you can't reach it. God, I just thank you for loving me and what you're doing in my body. Man, I know you did it in my heart. You changed my life. You filled me with your spirit. I know you're redeeming and restoring my body. And you do whatever you got to do. Keep your heart up and keep believing and never change your mind. That's how I see people totally restored of things that haven't changed. Because they won't change. When we get prayed for, be honest with me, we get prayed for and we don't get healed. We need to cut this head off and put him on and be the head. Because what we do is we say, see, I know I'm doing something wrong. I've been healed so many times. Look, other people are getting healed. There's got to be something blocking my healing. Now we're on this journey for 3 years. What's blocking my healing? That right there. So tonight we're going to pray for the sick. When you're out in public, please pray for the sick. When you're in a grocery line, you hear somebody talking about an ailment, a sickness, just tap them. Say, hey, I couldn't help but to overhear you talking to the lady. Listen, I just want to pray for you. The worst they could probably do, I mean, I guess they could shoot you, but they probably won't. The worst they could do is probably tell you no. They usually don't. I actually say, listen, man, I heard what you were saying about those migraines. That sounded tough, man. How long has that been happening? Oh, it's been happening 6 months, about every 3-4 days. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have one today. That's why I was telling him, yeah, I heard that. So you're like thinking you should have had it today. Yeah, I'm afraid of tomorrow. Listen, man, I want to do something, okay? And don't say no. Say no to what? Well, just don't say no, okay? Say no to what? I want to pray for you. And then when they make a funny face, nah, don't say no. They never say no. You pray for them. You're not afraid of him getting a headache tomorrow. I'm afraid of not loving him and praying for him. If God's love never fails, why do we fail to love? Let's just get seeds in the ground. Let's get our city so pregnant with seeds that something has to grow. And we go to bed at night and we wake up and go, how does this happen? God, you're amazing. And the seed all by itself just grows while you're sleeping. The kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. We think that's always talking about the gospel. No, that's loving people, sowing, praying, believing for healing, encouraging them. Going to bed, keeping your heart in faith, not saying, boy, I wonder why I'm not anointed. Man, nobody got healed today. No, Father, thank you for all the people I laid hands on that your Spirit's moving and working. And God, I just believe this is an unstoppable thing. Man, I'm going to bed tonight. I sowed a seed. It seems as small as a mustard seed, but it's going to grow into the biggest herb of the field. I read my Bible.
You're at work while I'm sleeping. Thank you.
It's called faith. Anything else is intellect, and you're talking yourself out of being a believer. Okay, if you got sickness in your body tonight, and you would not know if you were healed because it's not symptomatic. It's my first group. We'll do the first group. It's not symptomatic. There's no way you could check. There's no way you could test anything because it's internal, comes and goes. There'd just be no way. Y'all following what I'm saying? Please participate. The second group is obviously the people that would know if they're healed. So wait for that group if that's you. First group, simple, same faith for both groups. One's not easier than the other. Don't try to pick out people that wouldn't know. You're amazed what people do. Stand to your feet if you have any condition in your body that's less than wholeness, that if you were healed, there'd be no way to tell if you were healed other than just believing it in your heart. Just stand to your feet real quick. Real quick. Come on, everybody. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't make me go fishing and let's not wait. Just jump to your feet. I was in a church last week. Well, it was a recovery center. It was unbelievable. And the pastor said, you know, it's because we're very militant. We're almost like military in this group, getting regimen back in their lives. These people responded like my spirit man knew we had everybody up. Like we could just move on. And in most churches, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. So just jump up if that's you. We shouldn't have to wait. We're just going to pray. It's real quick and easy. We're going to believe for you. Do we need anybody else to stand up? Stand up real quick if you're waiting. If you know that's you and you didn't stand yet, jump up because I'm moving forward here. Thank you. Man, I appreciate that. It's the reason I'm waiting, just because God wants everybody up. Why would we be waiting when it's already late? I preached all this time and we got plenty of people to pray for. Because he doesn't want you not in faith and not believing. He wants you up and receiving because this thing is real. It's real. We got everybody up that needs to be up? Okay, I want you to do one thing when we pray for you, okay? Just one thing. I don't want you to grit your teeth and say I'm trying to receive. I just want you to do one thing tonight. Believe this one thing for the rest of your life, okay? Father, I know you love me. Or you'd have never sent your son. If you'll believe that for the rest of your life, you'll do well by that. I'm convinced and know you love me. Or you'd have never put your son on the cross. It settles it for me. That right there is enough. Thanks for loving me. Okay? So I just want you sitting in the love of God. People sitting near him right now, real close to him, just tap him, get a hand, squeeze the back of an elbow. Don't violate him and smother him. Just make contact. Just make contact. Real quick. We're doing this real quick. It's going to seem too simple. But I'm telling you, you're going to know a bunch of stuff changed in this room in time. And what I'd like you to do, you guys get on that old computer thing and stuff, but email the church. Say, hey, man, I stood up in that first session. It was something that I wouldn't know. But man, I know now. It's completely gone. You ought to let people know and tell the church. You don't have to tell me. I'm already encouraged. Can you tell? Just to cheer people on in simple believing. Simple believing. That's all we're doing. All based on the finished work of the cross. So y'all believe that God loves people? Do you believe God loves the person you're about to pray for? Yeah? Do you believe the work of Jesus and the cross is enough? Or do you think we should come up with some prayer? Probably just be whole is going to be plenty, ain't it? So why don't you do this together as a family and be sincere over your person and just pray this. Say, be made whole. In Jesus' name, no more pain, no more sickness, no more symptoms. In the name of Jesus, completely whole. Father, thank you for your great love. Amen? Amen. That's how easy we want to pray for people for the rest of our lives. Now, if you were prayed for, it'll take time, a test, maybe by morning, maybe tomorrow by the late in the day. I don't know your situation, why you stood up. But as you realize you're healed, you ought to let somebody know and testify. Amen? Amen. Listen, I'm not being presumptuous. There's no way we just did that and nothing happened in the room. There's no way. We live this way. Like, I'm just telling you. It's just fun. And then word gets back and people say, hey, you know, I stood up and remember when you were, yeah. And then they tell me stories. I get them all the time and it's just fun. So the next group is what? You would know. Now, I understand, I see a couple of walkers in different kind of chair situations people are resting and sitting in. I don't want to exploit people and make people uncomfortable, but I do want to be sensitive to their situation. If you're sitting and it's hard to stand or you can't stand or it's a challenge to stand, you'd rather just stay sitting, but you would like prayer and would like someone to pray with you, which I would encourage. I need to see your hands first and foremost so we know who you are. It's just hard to stand. It'd be hard to stand and you'd rather stay sitting, but you would like prayer. Anybody? Thank you, sir. He's got the red walker right in the corner there. And this man right here, he has a cane. He's sitting right on the end. Everybody see where he's at? Everybody see where this gentleman is in the aisle? Okay. Anybody else that I'm missing? Thank you. Thank you for responding. Is there anybody else? It would just be easier to sit and you'd rather not stand because of a condition. Okay. So you guys can just stay right where you're at. But everybody else that wants prayer, you got something in your body that's less than wholeness. And if you were healed, without exaggeration, I didn't bring the worship team up. We're not playing music. I'm going to get the room as dry as I can make it. No, I am. It's going to be so dry by the time we pray. Sometimes you're in a parking lot, it feels dry. You got their sarcastic looks and your nerves. And it don't feel all... Right? Because it's simple faith. It's a finished work. It's not always atmosphere. Atmosphere is amazing when it's atmosphere. The atmosphere is the kingdom and it's in us. Amen? So I want you to stand to your feet if you have anything less than wholeness. And if you were healed, you'd be able to tell without exaggeration. You'd be able to check your body without exaggeration. We don't want right answers tonight. We don't want exaggeration. Exaggeration is actually lying. Stand to your feet. Come on. I got some people that are holding out on me. Stand to your feet. Don't be afraid to be prayed for. And you're not claiming sickness when you stand up. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let him ask. You're not saying, you know, claiming sickness. You're saying there's something in my body that I don't believe is the will of God. And he'll heal me if we pray. I'm still waiting on some people. Please jump to your feet if you have symptoms in your body. There's six people sitting. You got arthritis symptoms that if you check for it, you can feel it. It's in your body. There's at least six people sitting that you have arthritis symptoms and you didn't stand up. I need you to stand up, please. Please. No, I got two of you. There's still a couple more. Arthritis symptoms. Your fingers, your hips. You're thinking maybe it's not that bad. Somebody else has something worse. He can cover the room, guys. There's a couple people. Might even be arthritis in knees, joints. I need you to stand up. Who stood up when I said I need like six people? Who stood up since I said that? Okay, good. I got y'all. Good. I got like two bonus. Thank you, Lord. Just degenerate knees. Somebody's got knee problems. You're not the same. If you ran up them steps, it would hurt you. You wouldn't just confidently run up them steps, but you're still sitting. Who is that? Is that you? Good. Thank you. Don't make me go fishing. I shouldn't have to go fishing. I'm a good fisherman because I'm a son. But just stand up if that's you. Don't get spooky. Well, if he calls my thing out, I'll stand up. No, you should already be up. Now, he didn't do that. He wasn't saying that. But sometimes we just think, you know, we're already in faith. We'll get through it, whatever. There's reasons people don't stand up. We all good? Everybody good? I got one more little thing I'm hearing. It's your hip. And it's bothering you. They're saying down the road you're going to need a replacement or something. It's your hip, and I believe it's your left side. You're still in your chair. I'm just hearing hip. I'm thinking it's the left side, and you've been told you got trouble in it, and you didn't stand up. Who is that? Did you stand up? Did you get up? Yeah. Is it your left hip? Okay, so we nailed it. Exactly. Did I describe it exactly? Uh-huh. Why did that happen when we're late and all these people are standing? Because he loves her so much. And this thing is real. And he's not giving me the green light. I got plenty of people to pray for, but I don't have permission. Why? Because she ain't standing and he knows that. And he loves you so much. So he just called your little thing out and you jumped up and got all like... And I know how God works. You're just going to get, you'll probably be healed before we even get around to it. Isn't he good? Yeah? eyesight. Somebody needs to stand up for their eyesight. I just heard eyesight. Yeah, don't think this stuff. God wants to fix things, man. Good, eyesight. Good. I got like four people in eyesight. Keep going, we'll have the whole room standing. We'll have to call out for help. I get so excited about this, you know why? Because it's real. And God's about to move. Why would you get words like this if it wasn't real and God's about to move? Okay, here's what I need you to do. Everybody that's standing, just put one hand in the air so we know who you are and where you are. And remember the gentleman in the red walker and the man right here on the end of the aisle with the cane. Don't forget those two men. Keep your hand up high. Leave it up. Now, here's what we're going to do. Now, I didn't tell you this. Some of you might know this is coming. Some of you are totally shocked. And if you're really shocked, please get on my team. In fact, the more nervous you are, the more I want you on my team. The people sitting.
Yes, the people sitting
are my prayer team. It's the safest thing you've ever done. You can't go wrong except by not getting involved. I'm going to even tell you pretty much what to pray and only give you 5 seconds.
You can't get in trouble. Nobody's going to leave you out in the limb.
And we're just going to move in this simple way and see how God moves. And I think it'll encourage all of us. So what I need is the people sitting. There's a lot of people standing, but it looks to me like we got them covered. If everybody sitting gets up and participates and gets everybody standing, I think we can cover the whole room. So we go one-on-one. Don't pray yet. Just go have fun with this. Claim somebody. Say, hey, I'm nervous, but you're mine and I'm yours. Say, I never did this before. Just go claim somebody. When they claim you and say, hey, I'm going to stand with you, just one-on-one till we get the room covered, put your hand down when you get a partner. Go partner up. Would you go partner up, please? If you're all trapped in the middle, you might want to try to get out to where somebody can reach you. I don't know if they can get to you. It might be good. Some of you, I see you are stuck in the middle. It might be good to try to get out where they can reach you. One-on-one. Don't pray yet. Find somebody with their hand up. Go find somebody. I got a gentleman back here with his hand. Oh, are you with him? Okay, you can put your hand down, sir. She's going to pray with you. Only leave your hand up if you don't have a partner. Okay? Can somebody come and stand with this lady? And there's three right here in the aisleway. Four. Can I have some helpers? Please, if you're looking for an assignment, like somebody to grab and claim, I got some hands. I think we had enough sitting. Really, I did. Yeah, back the aisle there, girl. You look so anointed, you could probably take two. Okay, you can put your hand down, sir. You got him, right? The man sitting. Did somebody get you, sir? Okay, somebody standing with you? Are you praying with him? The young lady? Yeah? You ran back there and grabbed him? I like it. I think you're in good hands, sir. Everybody have somebody? Nobody's waiting? Take 3 seconds and tell your person what you stood up for in a 3-second version. Just give them an idea of what they're praying for. Just tell them. Arthritis, herniated disc, tore rotator cuff, degenerate knees. 3 seconds, just tell them what it is. All right, that should be good. Everybody should know. Everybody should know. Look back up here. We'll move on. I'm not going to blame the lateness on you guys. It's me, but we'll move on. Y'all good? Everybody got it? Now, here's the reason I did that. Matthew 17, probably the greatest New Testament promise we have. It was when epilepsy was going on with the young boy and Jesus healed the boy. They came to him and said, why couldn't we heal him? He said, because of your unbelief or little faith. But truly, I tell you this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move. So what are we going to say? Okay, so if they told you I'm one that stood up with arthritis symptoms, watch. Arthritis, you go, every bit of pain, in Jesus' name. Who knows, you can speak that, be sincere, and do that in less than 5 seconds and be sincere. And believe God's love for them and the finished work of Christ. If they tell you they had a herniated disc or scoliosis in their back, scoliosis, you come out, spine, you be completely straight in the name of Jesus. We're speaking to the mountain tonight. Why? Because if we have faith, we're going to what? Speak to the mountain. We're not asking God to heal. In authority, we're speaking to the mountain. We're telling the mountain to move. And the mountain will what? And then Jesus said, and nothing shall be impossible for you. He didn't say God. He said you.
Whoa.
Ain't that something? So that's what we're going to do tonight. So here's the deal. I'm going to time 5-6 seconds off in my mind when I tell you all to pray. All I want you to do is speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus. At the end of 5-6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, that's plenty. Just wrap it up. See, nobody's going to have to get into some big, long prayer thing. Nobody's going to get self-conscious. You can't even get self-conscious in 5 seconds. Not when you're speaking to the mountain. Because your 5 seconds is already absorbed in your faith to speak to the mountain. So I'm going to relieve you, tell you, okay, that's good. In the name of Jesus, okay? The people being prayed for, what do you believe in? Father, you have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. Sometimes I've learned when you're through sickness or you've been prayed for 10 times, 100 times, and you gave up praying and you didn't want to stand up tonight because you said, I ain't standing up no more because I'm never healed anyway. I've been around all that. Sometimes when that happens, you start questioning what's wrong with me, what's blocking my healing, and even God's love. That's tragic because you're rooted and grounded in love, and faith works through love. Love has to be in the beginning. So you have to settle that he loves you, period. Or he'd have never sent his son. Some people are still mad at God because of their childhood and their upbringing. Look, if your childhood was full of Jesus and the people in your childhood were filled with God's spirit, you wouldn't have that story. Don't take it out on God. All God's guilty of is sending his son while we were all sinners. Let's stop blaming God for everything we're unhappy with. And let's start knowing he's a good father. Because he put Christ on the cross and made him to be sin so we could be right in his sight. I'd say that's pretty awesome. So tonight, for the rest of your life, settle in your heart, God has to love me or he'd have never crucified Jesus. Fair enough? We're going to pray. We're going to wrap it up. And then I'm going to have you check your bodies and I'll coach you and walk you through this. I do not want exaggeration. We have no music playing. We didn't create a hype atmosphere. And we didn't even try to create a Holy Spirit atmosphere. I just want simple faith in the room because when you're in a parking lot and see somebody sick, it's your heart pumping, you're trying to talk yourself out of it and your heart's saying do it and they roll their eyes and you pray. That doesn't feel spiritual. But I'll tell you what it is because he's been waiting for you to love like that. Amen. Are you all ready? So why don't you look at your person like they matter, like they're really awesome to God or something. Like give them like warm eyes or something. No, are you all ready? Are you ready? So you know what you're praying for? 5-6 seconds. Faith in the finished work of Jesus and God's love for the person. Speak to the mountain. You ready? Go. 5-6 seconds. Pray for your person. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can start winding that down. That's amazing. Just start wrapping that up. It don't take that long to speak to the mountain. In the name of Jesus. Make sure you end in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah? Come on, we can wrap that up. I need everybody to wrap that up. Nobody should be praying anymore. Thank you, Lord. The people we prayed for all over the room, start checking bodies. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't jump the gun. We're not looking for like just results and quick results. Check your bodies. Make sure you know before you say you're healed. When you know you're healed, though, let us know. I just need you to go like this. When you know. You know already? Oh, that's my hip girl that stood up. Yeah? You already know for sure. Okay, good. Anybody else? Check your bodies. You know for sure. You've checked it. You definitely know your body's healed. That's amazing, girl. We're going to take a couple testimonies in a minute. Watch. If you were somewhat changed, tell your person, I'm somewhat changed. Tell them the percentage you think you're healed. Thank God for that. Pray the same 5 seconds. If nothing changed, tell your person that. You know, it feels the same. Pray one more time. Same 5 seconds, same prayer. Don't shift your prayer. We'll take a couple testimonies. I don't want anybody letting go tonight that stay in this thing. Who else knows you were healed? I saw some hands. You do for sure? Back there? Did somebody back there wave their hand and know they were healed? I saw some hand back. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought. In Jesus' name. Okay, y'all just prayed again. 5 seconds. Yep, wrap that up. In the name of Jesus. Bear with me tonight. Let's have fun with this. Let Jesus teach us. Check your bodies. Check your bodies. Is there anybody else? Anybody else that knows they're healed? You know it for sure? You're excited. That's something good. That's good. She's fired up. Anybody else? Check your bodies all over the room. Anybody else being healed tonight? I'm talking healed. I'm talking you're 100% healed. Anybody else 100% healed? Check, 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 check. You know it? You've been checking? So you've come to the place where you're bold enough to raise your hand. You know it. Good. That's what I want. I want legitimate check. Take your time. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just gauging what's moving in the room and how it's happening. We're going to take a testimony or two. Who will share a testimony? We know your hip was bothering you, but you checked it. You knew how to move, like you knew what to check. Like, how did you, yeah, because if you'd have moved a certain way, it would have completely gone. Completely, good. Anybody else? Who else was healed? You raised your hand. Yes, ma'am. Can you shout out what happened? Is there a way? Do you have a mic? Yeah, run a mic back here, Jesse. Thanks. Nah, he'll get a mic. Don't be afraid of the mic. You can testify. It'll help people. Here's what I want us to do. Hey, guys, let's listen to a couple testimonies. When you hear the testimony, rejoice with her. Thank God he's a healer. And then check your bodies again. And then see what happens in the room. When I'm in a setting like this and people start testifying, I've seen it like popcorn in a bag. People just healing just keeps happening. Go ahead, dear.
Okay, so
Let's give her the courtesy of testifying.
Ever since middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah. In like gym class, I had a hard time going up and down stairs or squats. And anytime anyone was around and I would just like move my leg like this, you could hear. And I had no cartilage in both of my knees. And by 17, they were like, I'm 27 now. And they were like, yeah, you probably need double knee replacements.
Wow.
At 17. And I was one of the ones that was like, you know, I'm still standing in faith, believing for my healing because I've been prayed for so many times.
Who moves how many times, right?
Yeah. And so I actually tried to make them grind. And they just like were like butter. And so there's no grinding.
You can't even find any grinding.
No, because I tried. I was like, I'm going to make sure. You know, and yeah, there's no grinding and there's no pain.
No pain whatsoever.
Squat.
So if we're hearing you correctly, since middle school, you haven't been able to squat without pain.
Pain and grinding.
And like, grinding.
Yeah.
Since middle school, when you're 27, they just prayed 5 seconds of sincere faith over you. Didn't try to pray a fancy prayer. Just believed God's love for you.
Yep.
And your knees are completely healed.
Completely, yeah.
Guys, why tonight? She's been prayed for. How many times you've been prayed for? Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds. I've been in ministry for 10 years.
Okay, so you've been prayed for
every time I stand up.
Tons of times.
Like every time.
Yeah.
Like hundreds.
So why all of a sudden tonight, boom, is she just healed? Well, because you're so anointed, Dan. That's what people try to tell me. It's ridiculous. Stop. It's because we made it simple. Stop putting our faith in our prayer. Started putting faith in God, not trying to get a healing and all the stuff we do, and making it simple and just speaking to the mountain, telling it to go based on the finished work and his love for this girl. And guess what her knees do? Yes, sir. Ain't that awesome? That's just awesome. Yeah. Check your bodies. Anybody else being healed? Don't grow weary with me on this. I see this all the time, and Jesus will teach us what believing looks like. So check your bodies and stay with me on this. Anybody else have a testimony? You were healed. Back there in the back, Jesse, and then we have a lady right here. Back in the back.
I went on a trip this past week. I went on a cruise, and carrying my luggage, I must have did something to my shoulder because I don't usually have shoulder pain.
Okay.
And it was really tweaked and it was really hurting me. And I was, I got back already last week, last Thursday. It's been a whole week.
So it's just been hurt, just
thinking,
like a throbbing?
I'm going to have to have it checked out, or it just felt frozen, my shoulder. Mm. And it was just, I couldn't even lift it. And like even before, just before we started to go into prayer, I was feeling a release. And then when they prayed for me, I just feel better. It doesn't hurt.
It's gone.
So praise the Lord.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Come up here, Jesse. This is a lady right here. Yeah, you'll find her. The happy one.
Yeah. The happy one for sure. Yeah, I've had migraines that I've been suffering with for 10 or more years.
Wow.
And before she even prayed, the migraine went away.
So you had it while you were here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it was there. It was active and happening.
Yep.
Completely gone.
Yep.
Stretch your hands to her, guys.
Thank you,
Father. Father, we thank you. She will never, ever have another migraine again.
Yes.
Father, thank you for your unstoppable love for her. And this thing left and left for good. Thank you. It'll never come back. Because you're good and you love her. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yep.
That's fun, guys. Check your bodies. Anybody else? Did anybody feel their body change in the last few minutes? Sir, what's going on with you? Now, this is the first you're raising your hand. Do you feel like it's changing while you were standing here, or did it just change?
It started changing slowly.
So it got somewhat better.
Right. I got prayed for the first time. I said I didn't feel no difference.
Okay.
And I got prayed again, and I felt like my neck was not so stiff. And then I have bad shoulders. I basically have everything hurts on me except my elbow.
Okay.
And I'm feeling my feet don't feel like they're really sore at all. And my shoulders don't feel like they're really jacked up like they were.
Wow.
And my neck, it don't feel like stiff as it was.
Is there a way to just even check your body without doing anything crazy and
right.
without trying to do a physical therapy? Is there a way to test your body? Because you've learned to live very protective, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
Is there a way to move yourself around a little just to tell that you're definitely different?
I feel different. I feel
is it dramatic?
Different.
It's enough that you raised your hand.
Yes. And,
you're not feeling symptoms.
I have headaches, and I usually get them in my eye. I had them earlier, and I don't feel
You don't have
headaches.
Any of that.
I don't
Do you have any anything. Pains right now anywhere at all, or do you just feel good?
I feel the back a little bit.
Just a little bit in your back?
Yeah, and that's about it. So
you raised your hand, so you feel way different, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, way, way, way different.
Guys, first time we prayed, what'd he say? See, we don't even get past that. Be honest with me. Let me talk to us all. When that stuff happens to us, that's what we're afraid of. And then we draw a theology out of that experience. Well, I don't know why God's not healing. Don't know why I'm doing wrong. So we say we're believing, but we're just taking a stab at something. And then we're basing our belief on our results or lack of results. And then how we respond from then on depends on what happened. Instead of, wait a minute, you love me, you're for me, and you're doing a work in me. God, I just appreciate your love for me, and ain't nothing stopping this thing. And you never change your mind. A Christian has one response. You're good, and the thing you're doing in me, I thank you for it. So he started to get relief, it sounded like, and get a little better. And then you started to notice as you checked in on more areas, wow, I'm significantly better. To the point that you actually raised your hand because you felt like you're that much better. You couldn't do that? So you couldn't just lift your hands. Come on. I knew you were in good hands when that young lady was praying for you because I can see Jesus in her. And it's Jesus. And he loves you. And sometimes we're in this situation. Whatever's going on, it's been real and I get it. But the whole time he's real and he's there. And he makes a difference. That's all we're teaching. Let's keep believing God and receiving from him through what he paid through his son, Jesus Christ. How good is that?
My right shoulder.
Okay. So you couldn't, like you were limited. You couldn't do that? No way. So good. That's fun, man. Come on. And the more you're talking about it, the better you're feeling, ain't you? Yeah, yeah. Anybody else checking your bodies? Come on, check your bodies. Stay with me in this. Anybody else changing in the last couple minutes even? Anybody else have a testimony to share? Let me ask you this. I haven't asked this yet. How many people you haven't raised your hand because you're not 100%, but you know you're better than you were? You just haven't raised your hand because you're not 100%. Let me see those hands. Get them up so people can see that God's moving. Look, that's a lot of hands. That's good. Let's do one more thing because it's crazy late. It's 107. You can tell I'm on fumes. I'm running on fumes. Let me see the people in the room. Nothing changed yet at all. You're the same as the first time they prayed. Put your hand up. If that's your person, grab them. Grab them if that's your person and then put your hand down. You're not getting another person, by the way. You can't say, I want that girl in the trench coat back there. I want her. You're not getting another person. Your person's plenty. You got your person? You got your person? Now listen, this is important. I'm serious about this. Pay attention. This is important. Don't shift your prayer and get creative with your prayer and add, just pray the same thing you believed the first time. And let's just see what God does in the room. Are you game with that? Are you down with that? Let's just give them 5 more seconds of speaking to the mountain and speak to your person right now and speak to that mountain. I mean, speak over your person. Are you ready? Come on, go ahead. Every person in this place, that nothing changed yet. Just speak to the mountain, tell that thing to go in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Yep, that's beautiful. That's plenty good. Close that out in the name of Jesus, Father, because you love them. It's all because you love people. In Jesus' name. Amen? Now bear with me. Be patient. Just one more time. Sincerely check your situation, please. Whatever that means to you. Just bear with me one more time. Sincerely check your situation. Check it out. Tell me if anything's changed that time in the room, in the last time we prayed, in that last group. I'm just talking to the last group. Has anything changed in that last group? Anybody? Somewhat? Okay. So that tells you, what would that have been like? Standing. Is it hips, back? What's going on? Both knees. So just the pressure of standing would have wore out your knees and you'd have had to sit down. You feel stronger in your knees? Okay, good. But the standing is what you're noticing. So when you walk, will that help on the way out to the car and stuff? You'll know how it feels, right? No, this is important stuff because people know their bodies. You can tell I'm not trying to get results. I want legitimate things that change. So that's a good testimony. So you just realize, man, I'm standing. This wouldn't have been this easy to stand. Anybody else? You know something's changing that last time in your body, in that last group. Somewhat better? Somewhat? Just a little bit? Just enough to acknowledge, though. Okay, no, this is important. This is how Holy Spirit teaches us what it means to believe. If we draw conclusions 10 minutes ago, if we just said, well, look, we've been praying and praying, it ain't changing, Dan, come on. And that's what people do. No, we believe and keep on believing. And we never change our mind. And when she goes home tonight, the best thing she can do, Father, thank you for that lady that stood with me and loved on me and prayed. And the way you love me, God, what you're doing to my body excites me. Thank you. That's how our body changes. Amen? Anything else that we're missing? Anything else change in that last group, in that last moment? I just like to see that because it shows it's people that nothing changed. And then all of a sudden something changed. It's like, wow, when do we ever change our mind if things are still happening? You see what I'm saying? Anybody else need to testify in that last group? Just talking to that last group. Nothing changed? Okay, so what do we do? Is that failure? No. It's success because we've released faith and we sowed seed and we stepped out. Watch. These signs shall follow those that they shall lay their hands on the sick and the sick shall. So when do we just say amen to that and leave here rejoicing instead of, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Why did some people get healed tonight? And all the stuff we say, why don't we just leave here tonight and go, man, you're good. You're doing a work in me and thanks for loving me. You see, that's how our bodies will change. Amen. Good enough? Fair enough? So let's live this way and keep living this way. We got enough good testimonies. We have somewhat things that changed. We should all be encouraged that God wants to do these things. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for healing. Thank you for continuing to move through the night in our bodies. And God, we just thank you for your unstoppable love. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. Love you. Amen.